JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. My Kitchen Rules airs Sunday to Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 7 and 7 Plus with world-class judges Nigella Lawson, Manu Fidel, and this man, Matt Preston.
Throughout history, there have been some stunning superstar defections. LeBron James to Miami.
In this form, we'll take my talents to South Beach.
Buddy to the Swans.
Piss off, bud! You can't be doing that!
And even Brian Taylor to 3AW, then back to us.
Why'd you do it, and why are you back?
Money.
But there might be none bigger than this man going from MasterChef to My Kitchen Rules.
The true star is Matt Preston's cravat.
Crazy about a shark dance, man.
Please welcome, along with his cravat, Matt Preston.
Oh, how welcome is he?
Our man.
I feel like I walked in here like Shane Wayward in walking into Collingwood. That's what I feel like, you know.
That's it.
Was really good once, now faded like shadow of my former self.
I don't know if you'd fade away.
Not
the way I eat, Bill. You know that. No one had chocolate digestives outside. And all I can think of is I'm looking at your can, at your kind of V, and the Diet Coke on the other side of the table, JB. And I know that if I said chocolate biscuit, you may well knock me down in the rush.
Well, we hit them because they were there, and I said, "Quick, Matty's coming in. Get rid of the chalky biscuit."
You're gonna lose them. That's it. You go. Where do they go? That's what happens.
Where is your cravat?
It's my profession. Oh, I got up this morning and it was dark and couldn't find one that matched. And went, I can't be bothered. So I thought, I'm doing radio. You know, we can pretend. I'll sound the same.
Where's your nice cravat you got on?
Thank you very much indeed. I made this one myself. I just edged it with a blanket stitch and away we go. This actually comes from Remnant Bill at Spotless. It cost me $2.50.
Good Spotless.
Yeah, like very that. Nice. Yeah.
Now, Matty, the way I see it is the opposite. Yes. And that is that you've done some amazing work at a lesser network. Mm. And it was only a matter of time before the bright lights of the number one lured you. Look where you are, 7 and 7 Plus in prime time with My Kitchen Rules.
Look, you know, I look at it the other way. I think of it's like you've had a great time. You had a great time, and that's come to an end. And now you get the chance. Someone comes back to you. This is like being in retirement. You know, I went to 7, did plate with them, had all the lockdown, and then I get that phone call going, Do you want to just come in and do 6
Bloody
episodes?
Oath you do.
And then you go, wow, how interesting. Like, it's just fascinating to do it. And then they go, well, you'll be with Manu. And I go, well, that's even better. Good. So that's a big plus.
And
then you go, well, you're going to go around to people's houses. They're going to feed you their favourite home-cooked dishes. And we're going to pay for it. And it's like, hey, well, there is no downside about that. There's no downside about that.
So do you actually go into their houses?
Yeah, into their actual houses with the pictures of them, their wedding pictures up on the wall and the kids and the stuff when obviously they've tidied up the house, they put things into cupboards, but you know, you can never truly hide your whole life is there. So there'll be things like there'll be one random school shoe just in the middle of the corner over there. There'll be a pile of school bags with stuff with like the lunchbox from 3 days ago just kind of crawling out as they do, you know. So that's also great. That's a huge privilege to be able to do that in their house rather than kind of a more sterile environment.
Right, well, we need to ask. What? Yeah. Nigella.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
She's brilliant.
Yeah, she is brilliant. And that's just typical of Manu. That's the sort of person, that's the mark of the man. Mm-hmm. Kept Nigella all to himself for that first round. And then went, oh, I'm going to be on, me and Nigella, we're going to be eating together and sitting at a table. It'd be lots of fun. And it's like, walk in as. Why is it just the Frenchman? What's going on? Well, I've got the Frenchman. No, it's lovely. She's fantastic. She's done an amazing job. And it's great to see her with a bit more space to actually see the kind of the warmth and the humanity that she brings. It sounds so pretentious, but there's a general, she generally likes these people, cares. Obviously, we're competitive. Obviously, she did round one. She did those first six cooks. I was texting her going, what are they like? How good? Yeah. What's the best thing? Well, you really like lobster. She had a lobster curry. She really liked how fair is that? And then as soon as I'm getting in, I'm going, oh, you should have had this barramundi dish we've just had. I'm trying to make her jealous. Go, oh, no, the quality of the food sounds way better in my six. So that there's a little bit of healthy competition
good.
There.
And we all love her, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know her like
she is
you.
She's cool.
But she's cool. She's cheeky.
Yeah, she's cheeky. That's right. I think that's the thing. I think people get kind of lost in the whole licking the fingers thing, and actually when you meet her, you realise that Bill just
look at Bill.
You know what?
suddenly lost his way.
strangely, you've just ruined Nigella. No. Really. Now every time I'm going to see Nigella licking her fingers, I'm going to see Billy Brown sticking his fingers, and I'm just saying it's not quite the same.
No,
JB.
It is not the same.
Not quite the same.
I love it. You know when you get up in the middle of the night, you might go to the toilet or something, and she goes to the fridge.
Where are we going?
No, she goes to the fridge and grabs a bit of cake or a bit of chocolate and all that. Because we all do that, us.
Absolutely.
Yeah
absolutely.
Us, Bill. Bigger ones.
More generously proportional personalities.
But we all do that.
Because you're here, because it's well known that cake calls your name.
Cake
sits in the middle of the night, you wake up and you go, Billy. Billy. Come downstairs, Billy.
No, and then you fight it off. And then you wake up an hour later,
and you wake up, and your hands actually in the fridge, and you got a slab of chocolate cake. How did they get here?
I love it when you buy a nice chicken, you got it sitting there, and then you wake up the morning, there's legs and wings everywhere because you just attack it at night.
Yeah. Well, there is a reason why you don't take the souvlaki to bed, Billy.
Now, Matty, every time we get you in, we're very excited about My Kitchen Rules. Of course, it's dominating, but you are an aficionado when it comes to Melbourne dining, and Melbourne has. Yes. Some of the best restaurants in the world, including, now, have I got the naming of it, Gimlet? Gimlet is now in the top 50 in the world?
It's in the top 100 in the world, just been named Victoria's best restaurant in the Delicious 100. And that's one of the things that, you know, when, I don't know, Yota Mutlingi's coming to town or Nigella comes down, we give them some names. So, you know, Nigella really loved Aru when she was here, which is this place, which is in kind of great place on a Saturday, just off Swanston Street, kind of modern Australian, Asian twist, indigenous ingredients. But also they had lots of like smaller, like bars with great food, like Bar Liberty, or I'm a big fan of a place called Hope Street Radio, just standing, of course, in Collingwood. because it's unpretentious food, it's got a great atmosphere and it's fun. And I think we're all getting a bit over the whole 4-hour degustation. No, who wants that? Really? Does anyone want that anymore? I don't know. Especially when, as we know, prices have gone crazy now.
What?
And, you know, you're just going like, really? Honestly? There was a great piece that John Lethlean did. It was like $900 for a meal for two? I'm quite happy with a burger from Andrews with a lot. Thank
all right,
you.
Bill, we pub can't go any good pub.
Yeah, and really great pub meals. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. We can't hold him back.
Well, we'll take
11
a break.
In a row.
Take a break.
Well, all right, tease it. We'll get to his favourite topic next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I went to a joint gym that was that small that I put my key in the front door and it opened the back door.
Oh, no.
Shebang. Yeah. Peter and Kim.
Shebang.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. We're joined by celebrity chef and judge on My Kitchen Rules, Matt Preston.
And Collingwood Nuffy, fair to say. And, well, this is what happens with Collingwood.
Smile.
Yeah, you're too well presented and the teeth are too intact to be proper Collingwood. But you do the home and away thing traditionally very well. And then we sneak into September and the wobbly boots can get pulled on at times. This is coming from a fan of the team that are coming 18th. Yes. So let's park that for a second. But are you confident with what's going to happen in the next month?
So far I've been right with the last four games. I knew we were going to lose to Sydney. That seemed to be written down there. I knew we were going to end the weekend on 5th. Went on record with that. That's where I think
Carlton this week
will beat them. I think we might beat them. This is the thing. If we beat them, how many points is it? It's not a lot. If we beat them by enough points and the Bulldogs win, and we're assuming they're going to win because they look like the favourites against Hawthorn, you assume they're going to win that game. How much joy would there be for the Collingwood football team to ensure that Carlton don't make the 8? I mean, if you want to know, and I think if we were asking people to ring in at this moment, Collingwood fans to ring and say, look, you can make the grand final, you're going to lose to Geelong like everyone's going to lose to Geelong, or you can stop Carlton getting into the 8. I reckon it's 50-50 I'd be putting my hand up saying it'd be quite funny. Just to kick that last goal, the extra 6 points, it just tips the percentage over. Yep. Oh, see you next year, boys.
You're going to be part of the 85 to 90 Thesbier. Sunday's crowd will be enormous.
I'm annoyingly, I'm on a plane, but I was there for the Dons game. I was there for the D's game. And, you know, I think this is the beautiful thing. 6 weeks ago, everyone was sitting there saying, there's no way Collingwood were even going to make, they're even going to make the eight. Mm-hmm. And for a team, and I think this is, you know, North Melbourne supporters would identify with this, you're 17th. And all you want is just for them to give you a bit of a go.
Compete.
A little bit of hope.
You know, a little bit of hope, a little bit of joy. And I think Hawthorn have seen that. At Ed Times, Essendon have seen that. The McRae thing revolution has been beyond any of our expectations, I believe. And I think as Collingwood fans,
I agree with that.
How good has he been? Craig McRae.
Amazing.
No one really knew much of him. Knew he played a bit of footy, assistant coach. Yeah. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know that those 5 years in development at Collingwood, the time he had with the under-18s at Queensland, he's been around the traps. And I think that's one of those things, isn't it? You look at really good coaches and they've had different mentors over their journey, and they don't just suddenly appear fully formed. Yeah. And you know, he was,
you know what he's done, Matty? He is actually, we actually like Collingwood. If you don't barrack for Collingwood, people actually like Collingwood. Yeah. You like the way you play.
Yeah.
Play good footy. Yeah. And he's very humble. And you go, he's a good bloke. Collingwood are going, well, I actually like Collingwood. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but you know what the terrible thing is? As my friend, the Melbourne fan, told me the other day, he said, look, we all really like Collingwood, but gee, we still hate the supporters. And I think that's sadly the way.
Where do you sit on the Ginnivan thing? It was very sad to hear him talking. Boom.
Yeah,
that as well. But he was also talking to Tom Mitchell, I think, on a podcast thing, and talking about how his enjoyment of the game has evaporated over the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks with all that's happened. And you don't like hearing that from a young man.
Oh, look, you know, I mean, I think all we ask from the umpires is consistency, a week in for the season. If you want to change things at the end of the season, let everyone know that's the case. I think there was a sense, perhaps from that it was you know, wasn't consistent. I think there was a lot of football fans believe that.
Yeah.
So I think that's frustrating, and the Cripps thing, and the, you know, I think that's a, I think all we want to know is, you know, we should all be able to sense. We all know what ball is, right?
Yep.
Pretty much everyone agrees in the crowd, apart from the Collingwood fans, go ball. even when it's been, you know, we all kind of know what's right. I think normally in the crowd we know when it's deliberate, and I think most people kind of know that. But it's hard when there are those grey areas, and you know, do we need VAR? Will that slow down the game? You know, but it's. You know, you don't ever want to see, even if he's a rat bag, you don't ever want to see a player taken out of the game. But you know, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna say you don't duck into tackles, then that's gonna be the way for everyone, isn't it?
It didn't help him at training when he was practicing for it. that video should never have got out when he was practicing. Yeah. Who's your favourite player of all time, Collingwood?
Collingwood. Look, it's got to be the man that made me a Collingwood fan in the first place. That's Peter Dacos, number 35.
The Macedonian Marvel.
The Macedonian Marvel. Just sitting there in the UK and watching, you know, Stephen Quatermain talking about it and watching this guy doing what he could do with the wrong shaped ball. It was like basketball with a Sharon. That's like that's like insanity.
He's throwing a couple of good ones too. Nick, a very good player, but you know who's had a really good year with Nick Bean there is Josh. Yes. He's got better.
That's right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Of course I am. Good. I'm never. I can't remember the last time I was wrong.
I think JB can remember, and that was probably about half an hour ago.
Funny enough, Matty, when you're thinking about your best ever players, Bill didn't come to mind.
No, this is Collingwood.
No, just full stop.
You would have seen me.
In fairness, I saw him play in the grand final. He was pretty good in that grand final.
Which
was that
one?
95
or 4 or 2 or 1.
Maybe you're looking at a bloke with number 5.
No, it wasn't. He was pretty good. I remember people going because, you know, obviously the other favourite player was Rene Kink, you know, the galloping gasometer. And Billy, there was something about that, you know.
Similar shapes.
And losing grand finals.
And also, you'd have to throw Mick Martin in there, wouldn't you?
No, Mick.
What a prince amongst men.
He likes to club people, Mick.
He did. Yeah.
That's basically how he operated.
He did it well.
My Kitchen Rules.
When is it, Jim?
Sunday to Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., Channel 7 and 7+. Ooh. Great to see you, Matty Preston, always.
JB, Billy, thank you.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.